From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, your weekly sideways look at the news with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains, where it's still snowy at the top. You can still ski. And you can still come on holiday here. Oh, no. No, okay, I promise not to meet you, then you will come on holiday here. That'll work for me. So that's me here in
It worked for me last time I came on holiday.
Oh, it's him over there. The other side of the pond, it is none other than the young, effervescent, Lee Banks.
You know, it just makes me think what you've just said there, because you've been saying it for months now, pond life, a pond across the pond. I've just screwed my joke up now. Carry on.
Were you intimating that people who live in the UK are a pond life now then?
Well, yeah, you keep going across, about going across the pond, and I just thought, well, that's very old England for you now, isn't it? Pond life. But I said it wrong. I am so professional.
Well, talking of the proper pond, hi to the guys over in Talk Radio, and hi to Replay and Audio Boers. Plus, of course, the lovely loyal listeners of RTI. Welcome to the programme.
Hello, everybody.
Well, there's a furore in England this week. We'll start with that.
Furore? I used to drive a furore.
Oh, it's going to be one of those, isn't it?
I'm so tired, you know. Are you? Honestly, I am so tired. My back aches, my arms ache, my head aches, and I just want to curl up and go to sleep and listen to your wonderful voice.
Stop it. The former Director General of the BBC, as in Greg Dyke, wonderful man, has suggested the new management is out of touch. Why, says I? Well, this massive row has been...
Well, I think it's basically, Eric, because they are.
Well, yeah, probably. This big row has broken out because the BBC have announced plans to axe two radio stations in the form of Six Music and, of course, the Asian Network. Cut back on the BBC website, yeesh, and end some kids' digital services as well. I'm at a loss, Lee. I just don't understand all this stuff. I am totally bemused.
I've got to be honest. Sorry, carry on. I interrupted you.
But no, I'm bemused.
Oh, was that all I interrupted you for?
Yes.
I'm bemused?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. The website itself, I think, you know, it's not that. Why axe the website? I don't think it's a brilliant website. I don't think it does the job it's supposed to do. I think it's awkward, uninformative. I think its news values are weak. It never updates its news. I think basically the website's a bit of a waste of time.
I think your computer's frozen. I'll tell you. Seriously, we have people walk in here, obviously, you know, Slovak, Czech, Poles, that sort of thing. And whenever the BBC comes up in conversation, which it does, they all just sort of go, oh, it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's brilliant, I wish we had that here, blah, 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 blah. It is so respected around the planet that for anybody to suggest it's not is barking mad.
Well, I don't know.
Bark.
If you want me to bark, I'll bark. My young lady just walked in to see me and snogged me while you were talking, so I got a bit distracted. But no, the problem with the website is, yes, I agree, we have an internet generation. We sometimes touch on this internet generation and the way the internet changes life, perhaps five times a show, maybe. But that is because the website is an internet thing and it ain't as good as the BBC News. They do not update the news on it.
Well, perhaps they should put more resources into it then.
Mate, absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. But I don't think the internet site is the most worrying aspect of it, because any news organisation, any kind of organisation needs a website today. So why are you talking about that? Is ridiculous. Uh-huh. What is more worrying, I think Radio 6 is bad enough. But why start messing about with the Asian Network?
Because nobody's listening to it.
Why is nobody listening to it, Eric?
My opinion.
It's not very good. Your opinion as well.
As a radio programming bloke, the problem with the Asian Network is it's not very appealing.
No, it isn't.
I mean to Asians
in... people.
Yeah, I mean, who, you know, there's still a huge majority of young people that listen to the radio.
And more and more are coming into it because of the internet. See, I'm defending the internet now.
Yeah, but they're listening to us rather than anybody else. You lovely people.
I know, we love you people.
I just think that the Asian Network used to have a good following. It doesn't now. And this is something for every radio boss to work out. And a slight aside, many years ago, I was the host of a program called The Satellite Surgery, yeah. Which... in the mid-90s, we axed it. We killed it.
Yeah.
What was that?
I was just poking me fire, if you forgive my...
Oh, Jesus. And it returned as the Media Zoo. And the reason we did it is because, basically, it had run its course being specific to satellite developments.
Yeah.
And it was better to move on to the new media, as it was called, and have something with news content in it.
Yeah.
Now, the old duffers all moaned about it. In fact, somebody complained to the regulator. I get complaints to all the regulators, don't I? Complained to the regulator about me, and they sort of told me about it, but then wrote back and said, you know, don't be silly. But the truth is, the programming had run its course. I don't think the Asian Network has really moved on as a network and kept up to date with that which the young Asian community wants.
Well, that's it, exactly. The problem is, the Asian community in the UK, and I don't know why I said problem, because it isn't a problem, but the Asian community within the UK is getting very close to being the largest proportion of the community.
So why can't they have a service?
Absolutely. And why aren't the BBC, instead of saying, let's just get rid of that, it's almost a racist thing to do.
Yeah, but
why aren't they putting more resources into it and making it what people want to listen to or be involved
with? Well, you see, there's your problem, Lee. Now, the people that are moaning and going, yippee, the BBC are cutting back, are actually not the real people. What it is, it's the loud minority.
The pretend people?
Yeah, they are, actually. They're mostly journalists. They live in Cuckoo.
Oh, no, I'm not having this unwarranted attack on the media again.
Yeah.
Tell you what the problem with the BBC is.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it's a minority interest organisation which is based on feminist gayness. Even Jeremy Clarkson's gay!
As you know, boys and girls, this is a sideways and quite hysterically organised programme. He's just trying to dig himself out of a hole. That's not
Jeremy,
true.
You're not gay, really. We love you.
We do.
We all know it's the stig that's gay.
Now, you just mentioned Top Gear, right? And Clarkson. Now, funnily enough, it's one of the most popular programmes that appeals to ladies of 70 down to boys of 17. And yet, it's the loud minority that are baying for that programme to be cut. And do you know why?
Because it's offensive.
It's not.
It's offensive.
No, it's not. It's not.
Well, it's not offensive to me, and it's not offensive to you, but to the gay feminists at the top of the BBC.
What it is it's something that a loud minority cannot understand, and the thing they cannot understand is entertainment. And because they can't understand it, they want it cut.
No, but what it is, it goes a bit deeper than that, Eric.
Well,
what you have...
A big long knife. A big long knife.
Yeah. No, what it is... Right, Jeremy Clarkson's entertainment is intrinsically blokish, masculine, and a bit laddish.
But it also appeals...
Yeah, exactly. But is, it's not laddette.
Correct.
It's not girls doing it. It's men doing it. BBC looks down on masculinity and men.
Did you never see the programme several editions ago whereby they had grannies doing donuts?
And they all turned out like fannies.
No.
Sorry, that's not joking.
Stop it. They did. They had retired ladies driving minis and learning how to spin them round on the spot. And that is funny. But if you ask this loud minority, they'll say, it's stupid, laddish, derogatory humour. No, it's not, you pillocks. It's funny.
Absolutely, it's funny.
These people have got no sense of humour whatsoever.
Do you remember when Jeremy Clarkson tried to kill a Hilux surf?
I watched every programme.
Well, do you remember Hiluxe Surf? He chucked it off the top of a skyscraper.
No, he drove
threw it off a mountain.
He drove it off. He drove it down some. He drove it down some steps and banged it into some poles in Brighton. He then took it to the seaside and tried to actually bury it into water. Unfortunately, it floated away, but it still started. Then they tried to set fire to it at the test track. Then they dropped it off a great big skyscraper, and it still worked.
I know. Well, that's the thing, because at that time, I actually had a Hilux Surf.
It was yours.
And I watched that No, it wasn't mine. No. I watched that program, and I thought, well, that's brilliant. I have the most indestructible car in the world. You know what? I broke it. He couldn't do it. I could. I think I should have my own program. I killed it. The clutch came off and went into the engine housing, or maybe it was the other way around.
Oh, my
the 4x4 bit that makes it go into four-wheel drive, that stuck on. And my bonnet blistered.
Oh, well. But my point is, they don't... They rab it on about culture and arts and all that stuff. And let me tell you, boys and girls, if it's not for popular programming, arts and culture wouldn't be on the air, because people will not pay just for arts and culture. It's the popular programmes that bring the money into the BBC, effectively. Otherwise, there'd be a riot.
And that's why they've got no money, because they're not making any popular programmes. EastEnders is probably the worst, most boring, downtrodden bleh of a soap that's on TV.
Well,
and that's their flagship programme.
I have to say that axing it, if you understand music, which I know you do, Lee, a lot of the music that's on Six Music would be the kind of stuff that you would listen to. Absolutely. You will.
Yeah, and Six is all right. Six is pretty good. Yeah. I'm not saying for a second it isn't.
No, but anyway, I think I've got a theory on all this, boys and girls, so I'm going to run my theory by me, by you, Lee, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, all right?
Go on, then.
Because all the emails and the web... what do they call them? Petitions, that's the word. Web petitions on the planet is not going to make a jot of difference. But what might make a difference to this whole thing is if you find the address of your local MP.
Which you can find on the internet.
Absolutely. And don't email him. Get a pen and paper and write to him. And this is what you should say. Bear it in mind. Bear it in mind. It's election time in the UK. The two major parties are pretty much neck and neck at the minute, and everybody's looking for what is called the floating voter. Therefore, you write to your MP first. I'll come on to the other bits in a minute. And you say to your MP, I am very upset and I do not want the BBC changed. I do not want the radio stations cut, the website cut, kids' services axed. I want it kept as it is now. And add to it, if you feel that way inclined, because this is your part, not mine, I think what should be cut is some of the arts and cultures programmes, which nobody watches, or BBC Four that have Skippy on it. And as you say to your MP, what do you think...
Skippy was the wild kangaroo.
As you say to your MP...
That's culture.
Right. As you say to your MP...
Called yoghurt.
Do you agree with the principle of cutbacks on the BBC, yes or no? Get a definitive... Make it a definitive question so you can get a definitive answer, not a normal political one, which means I'm not going to answer you. And, but on the bottom of it, that you reserve the right to publish the response you get from the MP, and add to that and say, depending on your answer, because I don't think the BBC should be in any way played with or cut back, I will then make my decision on my floating vote on your response. Therefore, if he votes yes, you say, OK, I'll vote for him. If they say no, you say, I ain't going to vote for you. That's the basic thrust of the letter. And then when you've done that, hold on, Lee, find out who the opposition candidate is. And do exactly the same to them. So you've got to do two letters, right? One to your standing MP. One to the political, stop it, the political party. And say to them, your vote will depend on how they respond about the BBC. And I bet you a pound to a penny... There'll be a lot of change of underwear in lots of places, because if lots of people did it, the political parties would go, oh, my God, what's happened here? And if you agree with this, stick it on any forum that you're on, any website that you go to, any place, anywhere. You can stick it on the BBC website. The idea is totally yours now, boys and girls. And use some political clout.
How long have I got to stay shut up for?
That's about it now. Use some political clout. Stop. What?
What? My young lady's just talking to me. I don't know what she's saying. You know when you talk to somebody, like when they're recording a programme?
Yes.
So you do it in mouth like he's deaf.
Yes.
And he can't understand. So you don't make any noise. You just make funny shapes with your mouth. Well, that's exactly what she's doing. What do you want, darling? How may I help you?
Oh, I know what she wants. She wants to know how to write to her MP.
No. Well, that's what I was going to say. Now, lady and gentlemen, our gorgeous listeners, you have it from the horse's mouth. And you notice that I put an H on the front of that word. Yeah. You have it from the horse's mouth. Blackmail your MP.
Well, they do it to everybody else. So what's the difference? Oh, yeah. But don't email, boys and girls. Write. Write a letter.
I want to... this is where I want to take you to task, Mr. Wiltshire.
What?
Who, also, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, doesn't know how to spell his last name. Mm. If you look it up, that's not Wiltshire. And he comes from Essex. Anyway, why would you tell the listener
yes.
to email their MP? To not email...
Nearly got you. I'll be honestly, the trouble with an email is it's too easy to ignore and it's too easy to hit the little X box and delete it. But letters, I'm not sure what the standing is in response to constituents when they write. But
it's basically they've got a moral duty to reply to your emails and your
correct.
Letters. But could you imagine, a letter is far better.
Could you imagine a sack full of mail going into your local MP saying, oi, if you think the BBC should be cut, we ain't voting for you. What's he going to do, or she?
Really, is the BBC actually to the general sort of voting public... such a major issue. Would it change their lives?
I think not really. I think it would, Lee, but they just don't...
I think it would change their lives ultimately, but yeah. not on the face of it.
But my point is, I have to declare an interest and say this is what I think. I think there's a lot of political pressure being put on the BBC to back off and allow commercial services to compete easier than they are now. And I say to that, if you're not good enough to compete with another broadcaster, get on with it. Get up, bring your ante
get
up.
Get out. Go.
Or go, or up your ante. You come up to the standard of the best.
You're saying, destroy the BBC.
I think that's...
Wipe the BBC off the face of the
earth. Some would love it. I mean, I've seen some industry gossip stuff where one boss of a commercial radio station is offering to buy Six Music from the BBC. Now, what does that tell you? Basically, they can't do it themselves, so they've got to nick people from the BBC to do it. Now, I'm sorry, boys and girls. If you're in any kind of competitive area, you compete. You don't sort of think to yourself, actually, how can I kill off my opposition so I can have an easy life? What you do is go, great, I've got opposition, I'll bring my standards up. It's not difficult, is it?
Eric, I think today, as we sit here today, talking to each other and loving each other and caring for each other, I think this is the last postcard from Poprad that I will ever record.
Oh, why?
Because all I keep doing is agreeing with you, and that becomes boring.
Oh, okay,
like two old women sitting there.
Right, let's move on, boys and girls. Because I've
said controversial.
I've said my bit, and now I just think this is incredibly funny. Well, it wouldn't be funny.
No.
It could be funny.
It might be funny.
It's possibly it could scare. It's possibly it could scare you so much you need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, I know the one I've got.
Apparently at New York's JFK Airport, which happens to be one of the busiest airports in the USA.
It's one of the busiest in the world, isn't it?
I think so. Jet airliners were under the control or directed by a kid, i.e. in the air traffic control bit. And what happened was that a tape was found, right? And so US officials are investigating this thing now. Now, we can't play...
Was it in his little black box?
No, it was the one inside the building. Now, we can't play you that because we don't have the rights to do it. But you can find it anywhere on the web. Anywhere on the web, there's loads of people that are doing it and some probably not correctly, but never mind. At one time, the kid was heard to say, ready? BlueJet 171, contact departures. The pilot says, over to departures, JetBlue 171. Awesome job. Now, apparently the kid was with his dad, who is a certified air traffic controller, allegedly.
Oh, should be certified.
Probably should be certified. And then at another point, the kid was heard to be said, I don't know whether they used it the proper way, but MS-403, which should be Mike Sierra 403, contact departures, and then adds, adios amigo. And then the pilot says, adios amigo as well.
that's funny, but if I could just interject.
Go on. For a sec,
I respect you on this story, but it just made me laugh because there was another bit I saw on the web yesterday. I was looking through the web, and that was about, you know, you just said, adios amigos, Mexicans.
Yes.
Well, apparently, this is really sad, really, and you've got to take this with the... in the way it was meant, but there were two Mexicans got lost in the desert.
Right.
No, this is true. And as they were going through the desert, one of them suddenly spotted a tree in the distance. And I don't know if it was one of those things where, you know, you start to see things, you have hallucinations, but it was covered with rashes of bacon. And he said, hey, look, Pepe, he's a bacon tree. We're safe. And he was called Miguel. So Miguel ran over to the tree. And all of a sudden, he got gunned down in a hail of bullets. And in his final breath, he looked over, he says, hey, amigo, he's not a bacon tree, he's an ambush. An ambush, did you get it?
I did that one, I nearly laughed at it as well. I've got to stop doing that. Anyway, back to our New York Jets.
New York Jets.
Apparently, there's going to be an investigation, and the FAA, the Federal Airport thingy, what's it, people, have said, this behaviour is not acceptable and does not demonstrate the kind of professionalism expected from all FAA employees. What?
How old is this kid?
I'm not sure, actually. To be honest, I'm not sure. But apparently it took place when...
What, if he was 26 and qualified?
No, I think this was genuinely a kid, because it happened during the time when people in New York, well, the schools were on a sort of long break. So
Is that a holiday?
Yes.
Is that what you were trying to get out?
Yes. It wasn't coming. We move very quickly on to the last story of part one of the programme, because we're in two bits.
Oh, we've not finished again, have we?
No, but we're going on to... We're getting close to the end. We'll have to cut this one short. And I brought this in for you.
This break. What's that? Sorry,
I brought this one story in just for you.
Which one?
Well, apparently, Danny LaRue, he's sequenced frocks and costumes are up for sale.
What's that going to do with me?
Well, knowing you're a cross-dresser, I thought it would appeal.
I'm only cross when I get the wrong clothes on.
Apparently, its outfits include the one that he wore in Hello Dolly, which is kind of good, where he was actually impersonating Zsa Zsa Gabor, Tina Turner, and Dolly Parton.
Oh, let's go.
I'm not sure. Gosh. Unbelievable. I mean, Zsa Zsa Gabor was always a... Well, she was drop-dead gorgeous when she was younger and handsome when she was older, in my opinion.
And very gobby.
Well, that's true, but there again, Tina Turner's...
So Tina Turner. And Dolly Parton was gobby and...
Stop it.
I like them all, actually.
I do as well. Well, Dolly Parton were never a bump to nose, that's for sure. And
Dolly Parton was. I was talking about Danny LaRue.
Danny LaRue, who was actually born in Ireland, died last year at the age of 81, poor old boy.
Poor old Danny. I met him. You know.
Did you?
Yeah, he was. Well, it was after a show, and we did an after show party thing, and he was there. Uh-huh. And what a charming man he was, really, honestly, very camp, obviously.
Well, he would be, wouldn't he? Because that's what he did for a living. You know, he played ladies for years and years and years. He actually had his own television series in the 60s and 70s.
That's right. He was good. He was the English Liberace, wasn't he? Except he didn't have a piano.
Yeah, he kind of was. I mean, he used to pretend to play a piano, I think.
Do you know what he was known in private as?
Go on.
Whiplash LaRue.
Stop it.
He was.
Was he really? Are you taking the mickey now?
No, this is the true story, right? I forgot which one it was now, but I think it was The Valiant. It was either The Victor or The Valiant. Comics, I don't think they sell them anymore in Britain now, but there used to be two comics called The Victor and The Valiant, and in one of them was the story of a Mexican cowboy, this Mexican theme called, who used to fight with a whip.
Ah.
Like, he never had a gun or a knife, he used to fight with a whip, and he got whipped.
Are you talking about Zorro?
No, that's Zorro. This is Whiplash LaRue. Because he was known as Whiplash, everybody thought it was funny and sort of a bit risque to call Danny Whiplash.
Anyway, all his clothes are up for sale, so have you got enough money to buy them?
I don't want his dirty, stinky old clothes. Andrea's clothes are well good enough for me.
Okay, moving along quickly.
Have you ever cross-dressed?
Yes, for a party, for a charity party. I was a tart and my partner was a vicar.
I did that, but I went as the vicar.
No. I went as
could you imagine? Up.
Have you ever tried going into a shop and saying, excuse me, mate, have you got any size 9 red high heels, please?
Size 13 in my case.
Two quickies to get in. Apparently more than 5,000 people have stood there stark naked in Australia at the Sydney Opera House to pose
Didn't
for a photograph.
Like
no, they were studied up. I've got to be so careful saying that. And it was for Spencer Tunick, who's
a general election.
An American artist. And apparently they had all sorts of genders of people, gay men and women, laying naked next to each other alongside.
Eric, there's only two genders.
What?
Of people.
Uh-huh.
There's male and female.
Yes.
There are no other genders.
Well, I suppose
it's
that's
what
right,
you do
actually.
In between. Yeah. That defines you.
Apparently, the audience that arrived to take their clothes off, and I've seen a picture of this. There was 5,000 of them. My God!
Now, what would you do? You just wouldn't know where to look, would you?
5,000 butts all over the shop.
Well, is it the butts you'd be looking at?
Well, of course, yes, because we're.
Are you a butt person? Then?
We're British gentlemen. And we wouldn't look at the front pits, would we?
I would. That's exactly where I'd look.
You see, exactly. That's why you're a Clarkson fan. And apparently the naked models included a pregnant woman who went straight to hospital.
Women naked?
to give birth. She had to give birth straight after the appearance.
Oh, right. So it was a double appearance.
Well, indeed so. And you got one other quickie to read out, which you emailed over to me this morning.
Which one?
Something about me going, order. No, sorry, I'll do that again. Order. An email you just had in this morning.
I've no idea.
You've lost it, haven't you? We had an email, boys. We had an email, boys and girls, from a listener.
Off Dorrie Bridge.
Who?
Off Dorrie?
Yeah,
Bridge.
That's the one.
I've lost it.
Oh, Lee!
Well, I'll find it. Give me 2 seconds. Just busk. In 2 seconds, I'll have it back. It's here.
You've got about 2 seconds because part one's about to finish, mate. I'll tell you that for sure. If you want to get in touch with us, boys and girls, you can do via postcard from Pop Rat on Facebook. That's probably one of the easiest ways to get in touch with us. Or, if you can get hold of your station boss and sort of go, can you send this email? Actually, I've had several of those this week. Can you send an email through to...
loads like that one off Dory that I've lost. I've got it. It'll be. No, I'll tell you what. It's really interesting. Now, why not do something old-fashioned, ladies and gentlemen? Phone us up.
Indeed so. We'll take a break, boys and girls. We'll be right back in a couple of seconds before you have time to make a milkshake this week. We'll be back. This is Postcard from Pop Rat.
Eric. Give me a break.
RTI. A place just like home.